Let's open up our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. I want to talk about purpose this morning and discovering our place, our call in the bigger purposes of God. And it's an amazing picture that Lynn's described, that James preached about at the Equip time, and a beautiful, isn't it a beautiful picture that of giving ourselves over, giving everything over into the Master's hands, and allowing Him to shape us and form us to become the masterpiece or part of this masterpiece that He is making. Ben Kinchlow says this: purpose is the master of motivation and the mother of commitment. When nations, societies, communities, friendships, marriages, clubs, churches, countries or tribes lose their sense of purpose and significance, then confusion, frustration, discouragement, disillusionment, and corporate suicide wear the gradual or instant reign. This is evident in our world, everywhere. In every nation, there is a generation that seems to have lost their sense of purpose. They're out of touch with the values, morals, and convictions that build strong families, secure communities, healthy societies, and prosperous nations. Thus, the moral fabric of most societies is being stretched and tested to its outer limits. You must realize that your fulfillment in life is dependent on your becoming and doing what you were born to be and to do. For without purpose, life has no heart. Quite a powerful statement. And I want to begin with a question to you this morning. What would you like on your tombstone when you die? Or what would you like to be said at your funeral? A funeral, they normally have what's called a family members give a eulogy. When we were away recently at Hoek with our leaders, you know, it's kind of wider leadership group, we did an exercise on this. In small groups, and it was groups of four, generally two couples. And I said, give some time to think about the other three people in your group. One would be a spouse, the other would be another couple, and write down some words related to a eulogy. Now, eulogy in the Greek means a good word. Only good words allowed. Okay, eulogy is you is good, EU in Greek, and logi is where we get a word logos from, a good word. Write words down related to that person's personality, their abilities, their strengths, and their accomplishments. And when you come to accomplishments, think about up until now, but fast forward to the end of their lives, so that there's a prophetic element about what you're saying to them, about what you believe you would stand up and say you have accomplished in your life. Are you with me? Yeah? Very, very quiet in here this morning. Yeah. Oh, are you with me? Yeah? So it was a wonderful exercise. And this, one of the reasons why it was so wonderful, is you were doing your spouse as well as another couple. And so there was a relationship of intimacy, and you're thinking about them and thinking also about the future for them. What would God want them to accomplish in life related to their call or purpose before they die? We see in Scripture that there's a number of times where people, you know, they had a sense of calling for their life. Yeah? And it was amazing. I mean, I'm not going to give you what God gave me for my wife, but I can tell you out of the blue He gave me something. That I knew it was God because I'd actually never really thought about it. And I shared it with the group, didn't just share it with Lynn. she was hearing it for the first time, and the other couple were hearing it for the first time, because I'd only heard it for the first time from the Lord about an hour ago. An hour before that. That's the exciting thing, friends. God wants to speak into our lives about what he has coming for us into the future, because he wants to see us fulfill everything that he's called us individually to be and to do as part of his big plan. 1,000 years after David died, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 36, Paul gave this little footnote in one of his sermons to David's life. And it was a little interlude. It said, David, after he had served the purposes of God in his generation, he fell asleep. I love that picture. He fell asleep. That's what Christians do when they die. They just fall asleep. Not the end. They're just going to sleep for a while. The body's just going. We go immediately into the presence of God. Body goes to sleep for a while. Doesn't matter how many thousands of years again, it's just going to sleep. One day the trumpet call's coming, Jesus is coming back, and our bodies will be raised again, be reunited with our souls, and they will be glorious like his, and we will forever be with the Lord. But we have a short life on this planet to make a difference for eternity. And David served his purpose. Are you serving his purpose? Do you want to serve his purpose till your final breath? I do, and I trust you do. The second question is, so think about that. What do you want to be remembered for when you go on to be with the Lord? What do you want written on your tombstone? Surely you don't just want R.I.P. Rest in peace or rest in pieces. No, we want to be remembered for something of what God did in us, through us, into our world. Influence that we've left behind. The second question is this. What was the primary purpose of Jesus in coming to the earth? What is God's unchangeable purpose? So Ephesians 5:25, let's read it together. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify, set her apart, that means, make her holy, and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, the rhema word of God, that is, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And if you fast forward to the last two books of the Bible, you will see that this is something of where God is headed. This is something of his purpose. That Jesus came to give himself to raise up a bride that is pure, spotless, unblemished. And this, a bride that is madly in love with him. He's the bridegroom. Madly in love with him. A bride of one in purpose, one in mind, one in heart, one in passion and covenant commitment to him. One spirit with him. One body with him. This bride to consist of people of every tribe, every tongue, every nation. This is a big bride. Yeah? It's not the kind of bride. Yeah? It's a big bride from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And this is a bride who deeply loves him, has breadth and depth. Paul Bilheimer, who wrote a fantastic book called Destined for the Throne, says this, put it like this, the universe, including this planet, was created for one purpose, to provide a suitable habitation for the human race. The human race was created in the image and likeness of God for one purpose, to provide an eternal companion for the Son of God. History is his story, and from before the foundation of the world until the dawn of eternal ages, God has been working towards one grand event, one supreme end, the glorious wedding of his Son, the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's found in Revelation 21 and 22. That's where God is headed. And so what is our purpose? Somebody has said, we often ask, you know, God, what is your will for our lives? What's your will for my life? Wrong question. Right question. What is your will? And when we see his will and purpose and throw ourselves into that, we discover our purpose and what he has for us. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 19, we read these verses a couple of weeks ago, and it talks about having a revelation of the hope of our calling, that God would give us a revelation, that we would see the hope to which God has called us in verse 18, and the riches of our inheritance in the saints, and the glory of his power that he's made available to us. And so to understand our purpose, friends, we need to see the bigger person, God, that he's a glorious father with glorious plans, that those plans are incredibly big, that he includes us in those plans because those plans are in Christ, that in Christ he's going to bring everything together in heaven and on earth. And Christ has come to bring about a church that is glorious, that reflects him, that will be the vehicle through which his glory will come into the earth. And ultimately, the bridegroom is coming back for the bride and they'll be together forever. That's his eternal purpose. So if you flick over to chapter 3 and verse 10 and 11, it says that, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church, to understand our calling and our purpose, we need to see his church, and we need to see the purpose through the church that God has for us. Have you ever tried to do one of those big 10,000-piece jigsaw puzzles? Well, I've rarely tried to do even a 1,000-piece one, you know. And, you know, you look at all the bits there, and particularly if it's got lots of sea or lots of sky, you kind of think, where do I begin on this puzzle? You know, where do these pieces fit in? And often there are thousands, if not millions of people in our world that feel like that. They feel like a piece, and they wonder, where do I fit in? Well, the only way that you can actually discover how to put those pieces in the puzzle, it's very helpful if you've got the lid, if you've got the picture to work with. Without that picture, you can carry on all day, and unless you're very skilled at those kind of things, it's going to take you a long time to find out where the pieces fit in. But friends, we have the picture. Jesus came to put a face on the Father, give us a picture of God. And the Bible gives us the picture, the plan, the purpose, the blueprint of what God has for us. It shows us where we're going. And as we look into the picture, and as we learn from the picture, and as we listen to the author of the Holy Spirit, who is the picture framer and the picture former, and the gold pourer into our lives, as we look to him, as we allow him to speak to us through the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, we suddenly begin to see the big picture. We see that picture on the side, and we suddenly begin to discover, as we throw ourselves into that, where we fit in to the picture. And it's a glorious picture, isn't it? It's a beautiful picture. It's a big picture. It's the greatest adventure that we can be involved in, walking with Jesus Christ. To be part of seeing people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation coming into relationship with him and being part of this bride. So I don't know whether we can all see that, but that's an overview of God's purpose. And I'm not going to dwell here too long, but that's an overview of God's purpose. we get saved by a message which is called the gospel of Christ. Yeah? Good news. We respond to good news. We get saved. We come into his family, the church. We are equipped and trained. We are, as we start to look and read in his word, as we fellowship with one another, and the Holy Spirit starts to speak with us, as we pray, as we learn some of those spiritual disciplines in community together, relationship with God, relationship with the other, one another, we are mobilized as a body. Leaders are raised up. People are released into ministry. And through the whole church, as the whole church is mobilized, we can reach out to the whole community. And then people are raised up with a heart to take this gospel out. We send people out to other areas to plant more churches, to see other nations discipled. And all of these arrows are pointing back to the same thing. We all go out for this reason, to share the message with lost people again, so that they can be saved, so that they can be equipped and trained and mobilized, so they can be raised up, so they can become more like Jesus, so they can be sent out on ministry and mission. And then more mission bases can go out and out from one location. And you know, part of what we were very excited about this week again was to hear stories of churches being planted in Europe, and potentially churches being planted within our ranks again in the UK. And this is God's plan for reaching his world. That there are communities all over the world going to other communities to share the gospel with the name of Jesus with communities that have never heard his name. It's great to have Amy with us again this morning from Holland. And her family relocated from South Africa many years ago to responding with a yes to the call of God, stepping out into the unknown. And I'm sure there's been many, lots of turbulence on the journey, many challenges. You know, but they responded to the call of God. And that church is thriving, growing, making a difference. And it's not just got one site now. It's got three sites in three cities. And so this is happening. People have gone out. People are getting saved. People are being mobilized. Sites and new church plants are being reproduced. But this, why do we do that? Why is that? It's all for the glory of the King who's coming back one day for this beautiful, big bride. So, where do you and I fit in? How do we discover where we fit in? And I'm just going to give you some very quick practicals on this message this morning. How do we discover our call in this big, big purpose? You have heard me say many times that each one of us is made by the Father in our mother's womb with a mission in mind. You're not a happening. You're not simply a biological happening. You are formed and fashioned according to this big picture in the scripture in Psalm 139 and Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Before you were formed in the womb, God knew you. And the Father set you apart. He had plans for you and purposes for you before you were ever born. Turn to the person next to you and say, because of that, you are perfect for the purpose God has for you. Perfect for the purpose God has for you. That is incredibly significant that we get that in our spirits, friends. It gives value to our lives. It gives significance to our being. And it secures us in the love of the Father. It's what we spent time on in Ephesians chapter 1 in that first or second week. He chose us before we were born. He adopted you, or chose to adopt you, even before you were born. It's incredible truth. That secures us when the boat's going like this in life, when the plane's experiencing some turbulence, as we did coming back from Gatwick yesterday. And yeah. We need to know what we're in, who we're in. We're in Christ. We have purpose and meaning. I remember a guy, Kim Clement, who was a prophetic guy in South Africa, went to do ministry in America. He was traveling on a ministry trip one time in America, and the plane went down about, I don't know how many feet, let's say 1,000 feet, suddenly, vroom, and all the oxygen masks flew out, trays flew everywhere else, and everybody, including the stewardesses, just went, ah! And he was caught by surprise as well. Who wouldn't be? You know, it was a shock. And everybody's kind of, what is going on? Have they lost an engine or whatever? And he's also panicking. And then he kind of reorientates himself, and everybody else is kind of buckling up. And the Holy Spirit says to him, there are many prophetic promises that you still have to fulfill. So he said at that point, he chose to zone in on that. And he pressed the steward button, the stewardess button. And eventually the stewardess got down to him and he arrives at his seat and said, can I have a Coke, please? Pardon, sir? Can I have a Coke, please? Oh, there's so much happening. Okay, when you're ready, I'll just have a Coke. Anyway, to cut a long story short, they sorted the problem out. The plane landed at the nearest airport. Point of the story is this. When everything looked as though, you know, it was pear-shaped and going down fast, he got hold of God in his spirit. God spoke to him and said, I'm not finished with you yet. There are many promises that I need to fulfill through your life. Friends, we need to know what God has for our lives. It gives us purpose. It gives us strength in every situation to take us to our destination and to fulfill what God has got for our lives. So how do we discover our call? Number one, through serving in the body. We have been called into a body to serve the body. Saved to serve, we used to say. Saved into a body, called by God to serve. So to be a Christian is to be like Jesus. Jesus said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Serving and giving are the defining characteristics of a Christ-like life. When you put it all together, and it's not talking, it's serving and giving. It's pouring your life out like a drink offering for the benefit of others, for the glory of Christ. Gareth mentioned that verse this morning, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. We are servants of Christ. And we're called, the calling that we have, friends, is a calling from the royal courts of heaven. Yeah, Wimbledon starting soon again. Would you believe it, looking at this weather? Yeah. And, you know, when they're one of the privileges all the top players say of playing at Wimbledon is playing in front of that royal box, you know, and all the dignitaries and all the celebrities and all the rest of it. But friend, we are called to from the courts of heaven to dwell in the courts of heaven to play before Him who is the King of heaven. That's our high privilege. No wonder Paul says you've got a heavenly calling, a holy calling, and a high calling. That was the thing that kept Paul going through shipwreck, through prison, through being stoned almost to death. He had a vision of a heavenly calling, and he was not disobedient to it. That immediacy of obedience that the Lord's been speaking to us about this morning, he kept it in his heart because he knew who Jesus was. He's the King. He's my King. And so it's an incredible privilege to serve. And in Acts 13, verse 2, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas for the work to which I have called them. God's call is a call to serve and a call to work. Our call is a call to work and a call to serve. So what's God calling you to do? And I want to honor again this morning people who are serving all the time here. Sound guys, media guys, welcoming team, the serve teams, as we call them, you know, that rotate every 6 weeks or 3 weeks times two. Yeah. Yeah, we want to honor you again this morning, because actually that the way God is glorified is through serving. And there's many other ways, in our giving as well. The way God is glorified is one of the ways, but it's a key way for the church to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. And we all play a part in that. So we discover our call through making ourselves available. Focus on some tasks and ask, what can I do? Who am I? What can I do? How can I get involved? And which leads me to the second point. Have a go at anything. We have a little phrase in this church. Have a go. You never know how you may grow. Yeah? How do you become a good footballer? Looking at Leroy here. You have a go. How do you become a good DIY guy? Looking at Reg. Cut yourself. You have a go. How do you become an evangelist? It begins somewhere. Looking at Levere. How do you become a mechanic? It starts somewhere. And each person in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, is gifted by God. And the gifts and the callings of God are irreversible. He doesn't take them back. But they can lie dormant. They're not released automatically. Yeah? You have to stir up the gift. You have to stir. And one of the ways you do it is by stepping out and saying, here am I. The greatest ability is availability. And when you make yourself available to serve, the abilities within you start to come out. People see them. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Have a go. You never know how you may grow. Yeah. So it's been wonderful to see, as we've seen the baby boom in the church, to see singles saying to couples, we'll make ourselves available to look after your children. It's been wonderful. And perhaps other couples have been doing that as well. It's wonderful. It releases married couples to get out and have a date night. A much needed date night, because, oh, I've got all these children here. And they just need some time out together. Serving in different ways. Are you prepared to have a go? And as you are prepared to have a go, God is preparing you for gold. As you have a go generally in serving, God is preparing you for what he has for you more specifically. Dee, Paul's wife Dee, put her hand up a few years ago when Mary Lee was leading the children's ministry. She said, I'll get involved in that. She didn't feel it was her thing, but she thought, I'll get involved in it. I'll just help out. There was a few. She saw the need, so she helped out. As she started to get involved and help, well, things started to, you know, actually, I'm quite enjoying this. As it went on, she more than enjoyed it. She loved it. She had a passion for it. As she went on for it, she not only had a passion for it, she was planning well in advance for her lesson. And as we all know, now she's leading that ministry and doing an amazing job. She had a go. She never knew how she would grow. And now she's leading that ministry. And she is influencing other teachers who are coming in. And she's got a fantastic group of people around her. It's a brilliant example of what can happen when we have a go, when we make ourselves available. Number three, aim to do everything well. This was the testimony of a crowd when they saw Jesus serving and ministering to others in Mark chapter 7 and verse 37. He has done all things well. Wow. He's our example, isn't he? Whether it was feeding 5,000, ministering to the sick, or just compassion with people, he did things well. He represented his Father well. And friends, he's the king that we're serving. He's the holy and blameless captain who's called us onto his holy and blameless team. He's the bridegroom who's calling us to be part of this pure, spotless bride. And he's saying, represent me well. Go for it, my boy. Go for it, my daughter. Run well. Like the father is cheering us on from the sidelines of the field, saying, run well, play well. You're in my team. Aim to do everything well. From the words that we put up on a Sunday to doing things with excellence in every area, because it's not for us, it's for him. There was a person who was with us for the first time last Sunday. That person had something of a God encounter. I want to encourage us. First time. A God encounter. You know, part of the reason that person had a God encounter was because teams came here early, they work hard, and they do things well. It removes distraction so the Holy Spirit can work through a body. And the focus is Jesus. What somebody says, we remove the cringe factor, the distraction factor. And you know, the enemy, he'll throw anything into the sound system, anything into the mix, anything into the internet to try and sabotage the meeting. But when we work hard to do things well, to glorify the King, the Holy Spirit works through that and lives are impacted for eternity. Number four, don't look for attention. Don't be a Pharisee. Pharisees did what they did because they wanted to receive applause from men. Serve out of security. Serve out of an understanding. I'm a son and a daughter. What a privilege it is to be served. Don't look for attention. Be like Jesus, who served out of security to his Father. Jesus, it says in John 13, knew where he had come from and he knew where he was going to. And therefore he set aside his robe and he took up the towel and the basin and he washed his disciples' feet. He did the most menial task at that time. Wash grubby feet, and the disciples were gobsmacked because they knew who he was by that stage. But he did it because he knew who he was, he knew where he'd come from, he knew what the Father had given him, and he knew where he was going to, back to the Father. We need to just serve out of security. We don't need to look for attention. We're in a family that will celebrate your contribution. We're in a family, like the Father, that will celebrate your contribution, that will appreciate your contribution. And it's good for us in our teams in the life of 3CI, those not just those who are leading the team, but those who are part of the team, to come alongside and say, thank you for your contribution. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being a father figure. Thank you for being an encourager. Thank you for being steadfast. Thank you for being, yeah. But we need to do it as unto him. Servants first. First service. And not double fault to looking for attention. But default to Jesus as the on the center court, that we're doing everything for him. Number five, similar kind of thing. Never mind the reward. Serving is not a stepping stone to greatness. Serving is greatness, according to Jesus. He said to his disciples, serving is what greatness is about. You know, when they were saying, who's going to be the greatest? And he said, actually, the greatest among you will be your servant. Greatness is not about how many servants you have. Greatness is about how many people you serve. So it's not wrong to aspire to greatness. God wants us, our lives to impact for eternity. Yeah? God said to Abraham, step out immediately, you know, step out, and he did, and I will make your name great. God had a great plan. He's got a great purpose, and he's got great things for you to do. But Jesus redefined greatness. And he said, greatness is not as the world defines it, through pomp and ceremony and place and position and having people running around after you. No, great, that's not greatness, that's weakness. That's insecurity in kingdom terms. Greatness is serving people from a place of security. By the way, Book of Revelation says that for eternity we will be servants as well as sons. It says in Revelation that we will serve him, Revelation 7:15, that we will serve him day and night. So this is training for reigning as servants. Wow. But we're reigning because we're under his reign. And there's no higher reign. There's no higher place. Number six, find your strengths. Find your strengths. How do you find your strengths? Pinpoint. Discover as you serve what you enjoy doing, what gives you satisfaction, what gives you pleasure, what you love doing, what you have a passion for, what you are, and secondly, what you are good at, where somebody says, well done, that was great, good job. You've got a flair for that. You know, it may be an eye for detail. It may be a love for music. It may be a mind for mathematics. It may be a whole range of different things. We've all got a flair for something, and we discover more of that as we serve. Listen to people when they highlight your strengths. Take encouragement and begin to give yourself in those areas of service. And then number seven, and finishing off with this, clear your vision. Clear your vision. And can I say this? Don't keep looking in the rearview mirror. You will crash. Look through the big windscreen and see the big picture. But as we come back to this scripture on a daily basis, ask the Lord to open your eyes to see wonderful things in the Word. Amen. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of your law. That we get a clear picture, a clearer picture. No, you know, Paul said, didn't he, from a prison cell towards the end of his life, he said, I haven't attained, I haven't arrived, I'm pressing on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. He was captivated not by a guard in a prison cell, he was captivated by a call from the king. That's the wonderful thing, friends, that whatever ministry we have, whatever gifts we have, callings we have, We're following a king who has captivated us. And that king will captivate us until we take, as we keep focus upon him, there's a captivation that will happen right until our final breath. So clear our vision. Understand we are, how do we do that? Understand we are all called to be full-time Christians. Everybody hear that?
Yeah.
We're all full-time Christians. In the school opposite, where Paul works, Denise, where you're working, you're a full-time minister, missionary. You're in full-time service. We're all called to be full-time Christians. Accountants, office people, watchmakers, nurse carers, students, physiotherapists, teachers, IT workers, theologians, whatever we are, we're all in full-time ministry. Secondly, understand church structure biblically. There's no hierarchy in the church, actually. It's not a triangle, upward triangle, where some people are higher than the other. That was the way the Pharisees operated. That's why they wanted the applause of men, because they thought they were higher. The actual word Pharisee means separate ones. They thought they were separate. That's demonic. actually. That's the way the devil operates, and that's the way the kingdom of darkness works, from the top down, by imposition and by putting pressure and coercing people and putting guilt on people and treading people down. That's the way the kingdom of darkness works. The kingdom of God, by contrast, operates on the basis of drawing by grace. And we're all together on the same level. So serve in whatever capacity you can, where you are right now. Don't think, oh, before I can do anything, I must become a deacon, or I must become an elder, or I must become a home group leader, or I must lead a ministry team. No, you're a priest by royal appointment to the king. Serve him and serve where you can. Don't be limited by a label. Next one. Don't be limited by a label. Don't stick one on yourself. Oh, yeah, I'm this, that, or the other. God wants to grow us in our calling. And don't allow others to pigeonhole you. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 11, about his calling, he says, I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. Be open to development. Be open to increase. Be open to a growth in God. And then remember that your call is not confined to church meetings. Yeah? You're called wherever you are. So as an accountant, as a plumber, as a mechanic, as a physiotherapist, as a teacher, as a nurse. Joseph was prime minister of Egypt. Daniel was a gifted politician. Lydia was a fashion designer. And you can be a businessman. Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber. Jesus was a carpenter. You can be used where God has placed you, and the calling of God can flow through you in the art world, in the music world, in the football world, in the nursing care world. Wherever you are, God wants to work through you because you are called. Come on now.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're all called, and we've got to know when we get out of bed in the morning, I am a called man or woman. I'm a man. Yeah. My wife's a called woman. Yeah? Let me make that clear. Yeah. We've got to know, I'm called. I have a conviction, I'm called by God. And so, let's face it, there's a lot of work sometimes, and I've been in an industry in engineering, and I worked for Waitrose for 5 years, and there's a lot of work that can be very mundane. That's the nature of work. I don't care who you are, even whether you're the President of the United States or a NASA rocket scientist, some of the work that we do is mundane. And so we need to know, as believers, that we are called by God. And even when we're doing the mundane, what gives us a sense of purpose is the bigger picture in the mundane details of our life. And finally, there is no limit to your growth except what you put on yourself. Val had this scripture this morning, and I'm going to finish with this. This is how she started the prayer meeting. I was going to start with this early in my preach, but I've left it to the end. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we, I want to highlight that, we, that's not a W-E, that's a W-E, we, us. Ephesians is a us letter, it's about us. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And amen. I therefore, and I'm going to throw this in, paraphrase, the captivated prisoner of the Lord, captivated by this call of the great King, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Friends, there is much work to be done. I want to say to you this morning, the King of Kings is striding out into the nations of the world. And he's calling his people to slipstream behind him in the power of the Holy Spirit, to follow his leading, to see his picture, to fill themselves with his word, to respond to his command, and to share the good news wherever you are working and living and breathing oxygen. We've got this incredible mission, friends. Will we respond again today and say yes to the King? I know that we've already had that in this meeting. I'm going to hand back to Gareth. God has appointments for us again this week. And not just this week. There is much fruitfulness waiting for us on the other side of our obedience to him.